Good morning. If you'd like to turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 14, that is the first passage we'll look at here this morning. Acts chapter 14. The lesson this morning is titled Shepherds and the Flock, as we have this morning appointed three men to serve as elders for the church that meets here in Alney. We'll dig into some detail here in this lesson on some instructions given in God's Word. First, we'll look at some instruction given to elders about the work that they are to do. And then in the second part of this lesson, we'll look at some instruction given in God's Word to members with regard to how we are to treat and how we are to view those who are doing this work of elders. But as we talk about the work of elders, one thing that we want to constantly remind ourselves is that this is not a work that's designed by men. There wasn't a group that got together and decided it would be a good idea for us to have men who do this work and came up with some criteria for how we would determine if one was able to be appointed. This is something that's designed by God. It is a part of His pattern that He's revealed for us in His Word, and we need to have the proper respect for this work, knowing that this is something that is designed by God. There in Acts chapter 14, and in verse 23, Paul and Barnabas were preaching on what we call Paul's first missionary journey. And the first part of that verse there says, when they had appointed for them elders in every church. It is evident when we look at the New Testament that God's pattern, God's desire for each local church is to have elders. We understand that there's times when congregations simply don't have the ability to appoint elders. But if a church has the ability to appoint elders, this is not just something that would be a good idea that we might consider. This is something we must do. This is something that God has shown us as a part of His plan for the local church. And because this is something that is a work that God has designed, this makes it a good work. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1, there the Holy Spirit through Paul told Timothy, "This is a faithful saying, someone who seeks to be an overseer desires a good work." God has designed this work. He has designed the church, and He knows what is best for the church and what is best for each of us as individual Christians. And He's decided, He knows, that what is best for us to be strong as a church and to be strong as individual Christians is for us to appoint men who meet His qualifications for elders. And so we need to realize, when we're talking about the work of elders, this is something that is designed by God. This is something that God Himself says is a good work that needs to be done in each local church that has that ability. You see that word in 1 Timothy 3:1, overseer, instead of using the word elder. There are either three or six different words, and I'll explain why there can be three or six in just a moment, but there are three or six different words that can be used to describe this same work of an elder. We sometimes see the word elders, which can also be translated as presbyters, so that's one word translated two different ways. We sometimes see the word overseers, which can be translated bishops, so there's another word can be translated two different ways. And then we sometimes see the word shepherds, which can also be translated as pastors. And for our lesson here this morning, for simplicity's sake, I'm going to use the word elders, overseers, and shepherds. But when you think about those three terms, elders, overseers, and shepherds, each of those three terms describes something important about the work that elders do. Throughout the Bible, and going back to the Israelites, we see that they had elders who were looked up to as religious leaders. These were generally men who were respected for their spiritual maturity and wisdom, and so they were looked up to as leaders of the group in a religious sense. And God carries that term over into the church. Sometimes the word elders is used very broadly to refer to older people, But sometimes the word elders is used in a more narrow sense to refer very specifically to those men who are leaders in a local church and they are looked up to for their spiritual maturity. But that word overseers also helps us understand an important part of their work. They have oversight over the local church and the individual members who make up the church. And we'll give an example of that in a few minutes. And then the word shepherds also is important. You think about the analogy of a good shepherd guiding and feeding and leading and protecting sheep in a literal sense. Jesus uses and the Holy Spirit uses that same analogy to refer to shepherds of a local church and the care that they need to have for the flock. So what I want to do for our lesson here this morning is first to just look at two passages that dive into some detail about the work that elders are to do. And then in the next part of the lesson, we'll look into two specific passages that dive into detail about what members' responsibilities are towards the elders. And so one passage that has a lot of instruction first to elders is Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. And I'll mention, first of all, verse 17, just so we can see the three different terms used here in this passage. In verse 17 there of Acts 20, it mentions, "From Miletus," he speaking of Paul, "sent to Ephesus and called to himself the elders of the assembly or of the church." So Paul here in this passage is speaking to the elders of the church at Ephesus. And he gives some info on some personal matters, but then he digs into some specific instruction for the elders when you look down at verse 28. Acts chapter 20, there at verse 28. There it says, "Take heed therefore to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the assembly of the Lord and God which he purchased with his own blood." So notice there in that verse that first of all, Paul tells the Ephesian elders, take heed to yourselves. Elders are to lead not only through their words, but also through their example. And so it's important for elders to make sure that they themselves are submitting to the will of God, just as they're trying to help members of the church submit to the will of God as well. And so the first thing he identifies here is that elders need to take heed to themselves. And then he says also to take heed to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. And he mentions to shepherd the church. So you see the word overseers and the word shepherd there. So we have all three terms used in this passage: elders, shepherd, and overseers. And when you think about the role that elders have in overseeing the flock, we might categorize their oversight in two very broad categories. They have oversight over the church as a whole and what we do collectively. And they also have oversight over each individual member of the congregation with regard to spiritual matters. So for instance, this church here and many other churches in this country do the same thing. We have gospel meetings on a yearly basis. And sometimes churches will discuss what topics do we want to have the preacher speak for those gospel meetings. Elders may delegate that task. Elders may seek input from the congregation, but ultimately elders have the oversight with regard to gospel meetings, who is invited, what topics the speaker is going to address. If members of a congregation would really like to have a series on the church, and the elders decide they'd really like to have a series on the home, and they consider that input, but they decide we're going to go with a series on the home, that's their choice to make. They have God's authority to make that choice on behalf of the church. They have the oversight in things such as this that are collective things that we do as a church, as a unit. And so that's part of their oversight. They oversee the collective body of the local church, but they also oversee each individual member with regard to spiritual matters. And so, for instance, if one of us is going down a dangerous path that the elders realize is putting us in a very tempting situation, or is creating a stumbling block for others, or is casting a bad image on the church, Or maybe they've recognized we've already engaged in some sin, but they see us going down a dangerous path. They may take us aside and say, you've got to stop this. And they've got God's authority to do that. They've got God's authority to watch and oversee the kind of lives that we are living. And that doesn't mean that the rest of us members shouldn't be looking out for one another as well and trying to help one another go down the path God desires. But elders ultimately have the oversight. They are watching for our souls in order to try to help us go down the path that's going to lead us to heaven. So they have the oversight over the local church in which they serve. And then we also see there that they are to shepherd the church. And this is a metaphor, if you will, that is a really good illustration of the kind of things that elders are to do for the church. You think about what Jesus describes as a good shepherd in John 10. He talks about how a good shepherd is not like a hireling. A hireling may not seek harm to the sheep directly, but when those predators, those wolves come in, that hireling is first of all thinking, I got to protect myself. And he's going to forsake the sheep in order to protect himself. And Jesus says there, as the good shepherd, I lay down my life for the sheep, meaning I'll put the sheep ahead of myself. I will sometimes forsake what is most pleasurable or desirable for me in order to look out for the sheep. And that's a really good illustration of how elders in a local church can be good shepherds as well, to be constantly looking out for the members of the church. That doesn't mean that they aren't looking out for themselves to an extent as well, of course, but they are at times going to have to lay aside something that may be pleasurable or desirable or fun for themselves in order to do what is needed for the church or for the individual members who make up the church as they guide and lead and feed and tend to the flock over the which the Holy Spirit's made them overseers. There at the end of verse 28, there's something important mentioned in Acts 20, 28. The last part of that verse says, talks about shepherding the church of the Lord and God, which he purchased with his own blood. So it's important for elders to realize the church doesn't belong to elders. Elders have the oversight, but the church still belongs to the Lord. The church is Christ's, and that means that elders don't have God's authority to establish doctrine. Rather, elders have God's authority to oversee the work that's being done to make sure that we're following Christ's doctrine. That's the oversight they have, not to be confused with owning the church as Christ does. But then when he goes on there in verses 29 through 30 and also the first part of 31, he continues this analogy of a shepherd and his sheep, and he uses that to describe these shepherds here in the church at Ephesus. He knows, says, I know that after my departure, vicious wolves will enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Men will arise from among your own selves, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, watch. So notice he says there, vicious wolves will come in. Just as a shepherd in a very literal sense has to watch out for wolves coming in that would harm the sheep, elders need to watch out for what Paul calls here vicious wolves who will come in and hurt the sheep in a spiritual sense. And what he's referring to there, given what we see in verse 30, these vicious wolves are false teachers. These vicious wolves are individuals who would seek to harm the brethren by leading them away from the Word of God to something other than His truth. Paul says you need to watch. And he says, don't think that this is just something that's foreign. He says, this will be close to home. He says, this is going to happen here in Ephesus or with the brethren in Ephesus. There will be some who arise to draw men after them. And so elders need to be on guard against any influence that might be getting into the church that would harm the church and lead others astray. Elders are to be watchful. They're to be vigilant and help to make sure that those predators don't lead the sheep astray, as we see brought out here in this few verses. And then in verse 32, something really important is said as Paul's talking to the elders still. He says, now, brothers, I entrust you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. Now, this we understand is something that all of us need to take to heart, not just elders. All of us need to lean on God and the word of his grace. But he specifically tells elders here, I entrust you, or I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. You may face some difficult things, and probably will face difficult things in your work as elders. He says, you need to lean on God and lean on his word. And if you are submitting to him to the very best of your ability, trust he's going to be with you. He's going to be there to help you, and you can lean on him for help as you do this work. And that's something that all elders should take to heart. I entrust you, or I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. But now I want to look at another passage that is addressed to elders over in 1 Peter chapter 5. In 1 Peter chapter 5, the first four verses here of this chapter, 1 Peter chapter 5, the first four verses of this chapter, we again see the inspired apostle using all three terms here, elders, shepherd, and then he uses the word oversight in verse 2 as well. So it's clear here that he, as he says, I exhort the elders, he's not just exhorting older people in general, but it's very clear from what he says in verse 2. He's talking specifically to those who are elders in a local church. And notice what he tells them in verse 2. He says, shepherd the flock of God which is among you, exercising the oversight, not under compulsion, but voluntarily, not for dishonest gain, but willingly. So he again tells them, shepherd the flock of God. And he says, which is among you? We've made this point before, but it bears repeating. Man's design for the eldership may be to have one man overseeing multiple churches, but God's design is for multiple men to oversee one church. It says, you are to shepherd the flock of God which is among you. The elders' oversight is limited to the local church in which they serve. And thinking about that there are multiple men serving this church is important as well. Each elder has equal oversight in the local church. God's design is not for there to be a senior pastor and a junior pastor and so forth. His design is for there to be equality in terms of the oversight that elders have in the local church. And so elders can lean on one another and recognize that each of them has equal oversight in the local church. He mentions there, not under compulsion, but voluntarily. And so the idea there is they can't be forced into it. This needs to be something they're willing to do. And then he says, not for dishonest gain, but willingly. We understand that elders are authorized in Scripture to receive support for the work they're doing, but their motivation for serving in this role shouldn't just be to try to make money. Their motivation should be serving God and serving the flock. And then he says in verse 3, not as lording it over those entrusted to you, but making yourselves examples to the flock. So verse 3 continues this need for selflessness. Elders should not be in this work just purely for selfish reasons. Certainly elders are in some ways going to benefit from the work as they run into things and as they dig into Scripture to figure out how do we deal with this. They're going to grow spiritually wiser and they're going to benefit tremendously from this work. But their motivation should not just be, what can I get for me? And I think that's the idea there behind lording it over. Now, the idea of lording it over doesn't mean they don't have a certain amount of rule in the local church, because they clearly do from other passages and even this passage. But the idea of lording it over is elders shouldn't be treating this in a way that's very domineering, we might say. They shouldn't be self-seeking in this role. They shouldn't just think, okay, now I get to be in charge and have my way all the time. Instead, they should be looking at this as an opportunity to serve and to help others in this role and to realize that they are to be examples to the flock as well. So they're certainly teaching through words, but also teaching through their example, as we saw alluded to back in Acts 20. So a key that's brought out here in the 1 Peter 5 passage is the need for elders not to look at this as something that is a lifetime achievement award, we might say, where they're being exalted above everybody and they get to get some trophy that brings themselves recognition. But rather, the key for elders is to realize this is a role of service. This is a work that God wants done in the local church to help us all make it to heaven. And that's what elders' work is all about. And what can help elders to have that humility is remembering what's said in verse 4 there. 1 Peter 5 and verse 4, he says, "When the chief shepherd is revealed, you will receive the crown of glory that doesn't fade away." So again, the church belongs to Christ. He is the chief shepherd. There are shepherds in a local church that oversee Christ's flock, but ultimately he's the chief shepherd. All of us will submit to him on the day of judgment and have to answer. And so elders should remember that, and that can help elders to be humble and selfless in this work that they do. But now I want to turn the attention for the remainder of our lesson to some instruction that is given in God's Word to members or the flock concerning how we are to treat those who are elders. And there's just two passages that we'll look at again, but these two passages are loaded with instruction that is important for us to bear in mind. One of these passages is Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13 and in verse 17. Hebrews 13 and verse 17 says there, "Obey them that have the rule over you and submit to them, for they watch in behalf of your souls as they that shall give account, that they may do this with joy and not with grief, for this were unprofitable for you." So notice here, he says, them that have the rule over you. It's evident here that he's talking about elders. Besides God, of course, there's no one else who would be described in this way in the local church. So he's talking about those who have the rule over you. And he says, submit to them and obey them. The first part of that verse requires a lot of humility on our part. For us to be willing to obey and to submit and to acknowledge that there are some who have the rule over us, this requires a great deal of humility on our part. We can be tempted to think that because we are Christians, we only need to submit to God and we don't have to answer to any man. And in a sense, someone could say, well, that's true because on the day of judgment, we won't be judged by a man, we'll be judged by God. But if we're using that to excuse ourselves from ever obeying a man or a person here on earth, that's not what God's Word teaches. He teaches you do need to be obedient. You do need to be submissive to those who have the rule over you. Now, we understand that the qualifier, anytime we see in Scripture that we're to be obedient to fellow man in any way, the qualifier is always, as long as they don't ask us to do something that conflicts with the will of God. But if elders ask us to do something that doesn't conflict with the will of God, we need to be obedient. We need to be submissive. And this includes times in which we may not agree with a decision they've made. If you think back the analogy I used a few minutes ago, if we decide it would be best for the church here to have a series on the home for our next gospel meeting, and the elders decide it would be best to have a series on the church, we may not agree with their decision, but they're not doing anything that's contrary to Scripture. And they have that, they have God's authority to make that decision if they believe that's in the best interest of the church. And we should just submit to that and don't murmur about it, but just acknowledge this was the direction that I thought would be best to go, but this is what our elders decided to do, and that's fine with me. We need to have that type of submissive spirit toward the elders, and that requires a great deal of humility. But he goes on to say there, they watch in behalf of your souls as they that shall give account. And when you think about that phrase, they watch in behalf of your souls as they that shall give account, this doesn't mean that we can just deflect our personal responsibility on the elders. It doesn't mean that on the day of judgment that the elders are going to answer for us. Each one of us has personal responsibility we have to take to submit to the will of the Lord. But when we think about different things that elders might do as they work to try to help us go down the direction we should, we could be tempted sometimes to think, feel almost like they're prying, or almost like they should just let us be. But he says, they watch in behalf of your souls as they that shall give account. They're being put in this role by God to carry out a particular work that God wants done, and God says is for our benefit. Have that recognition that they're doing this to please God and for the benefit of our souls. We should realize that as they watch, as they try to guide us down the path that God wants us to go, we need to have the humility to recognize that they are doing this for our good. And it mentions there in the last part of the verse that they may do this with joy and not with grief, for this were unprofitable for you. If we are giving the elders a hard time, and we are being rebellious, we are nitpicking at every decision they make, murmuring and gossiping, if we're doing that, the elders are liable to be doing their job with grief rather than joy. And not only is that a burden on them, and it's selfish of us to put that burden on them, but that's something that's not profitable for us. If you think about any job, just about, that a person could be involved in, if you do a job with a great deal of joy versus doing a job in a way that almost are tempted to almost dread doing it because it's such grief that it brings to you, we realize that we're liable to do the job a lot better if we do it with joy. And elders are the same way. If we make their lives real difficult with how we treat them, they're liable to not serve us as well as they could. But if we help them and support them and encourage them, they're liable to do this work a lot better, and that will not only be wonderful for them, but it will be profitable for us as well. So it's important to be obedient and submissive and realize these men are being put in this work for the glory of God and for our good. But I want to look at one other passage that deals with instruction given to members, and that is 1 Thessalonians 5:12 and 13. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 12 and 13. There, the Holy Spirit through Paul says, "We beseech you, brethren, to know them that labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them exceeding highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves." So he mentions there, knowing them that labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. If all he said was them that labor among you, we may not know exactly who that's talking about. It could be elders, deacons, evangelists, teachers. Could be a number of different individuals. But when he says those who are over you in the Lord, it's very evident from that phrase that he's talking here about elders. So he says, first of all, know those, meaning recognize the work that they're doing, the diligent effort they're putting into this. And then he says, esteem them exceeding highly in love for their work's sake. Now that doesn't mean that we exalt them above measure, but it means that we appreciate the work that they're doing. It means that we realize, again, they're doing this for our benefit. God knows what is best for us to help us make it to heaven, and he's decided that it's best for us to have men who meet his qualifications serve in this work. And we need to realize that this is something that's for our good. And we should esteem them exceeding highly in love because of the work that they're doing. And it mentions there be at peace among yourselves, which could apply to the whole church. But specifically here, it may have reference to the peace that is needed between the elders and the congregation, as the congregation should not be bickering about everything that the elders are doing, but rather appreciating what they're doing, not condoning error, but at the same time not nitpicking at anything that may go against our opinions and our judgment calls, realizing these men are doing the best they can to do this work, and they are doing a work that is good for us and not something that is intended to cause us any harm. And we need to have that proper recognition of the work that they are doing. And one thing that I want to mention as we think about our responsibility to those who are elders, there's a question that sometimes comes up when men are appointed as elders, and I think answering this question can help us not only know what to say today, but also know what attitude to have towards them each day that they serve in this role. But this question sometimes comes up, what do you say to a man who's been appointed as an elder? And the way that so many brethren view the eldership, the tendency may be to say the word congratulations. That's the way so many people view the eldership. And I'm not going to say it's wrong to say congratulations, but I think there's a lot better things that we could say that would be a lot more appropriate. Because as we mentioned earlier, the elders are not being given a lifetime achievement award. The elders are being appointed to a particular work that is needed in the local church. And so three things that we might say to them, and this isn't just to help us think about what to say today. This is to help us understand what our attitude toward them should be each day. Number one is thank you. We should appreciate them for the work that they're doing. Realize this is for our good. It's not something that is going to be easy a lot of times. We should say thank you and be thankful for the work that elders are doing. Another thing that would be appropriate to say is, I'm following you. We might think that God's plan and design is to have all members be equal when it comes to leading and following. That might seem right in our eyes, but the truth is that's not what God's shown us in His Word. He's shown us He does expect there to be leaders in the local church, and He does expect the rest of us to follow those men who are appointed as elders. And so a thing that would be appropriate to say and to have as our mentality each day they serve is, I'm following your lead and your guidance, and we should submit to them in that way. And then a third thing that we could say, and I hope each one of us would really take this to heart, whether you say this or not, I hope everybody would take this to heart and really apply this, and that is, I'm praying for you. Elders need our prayers. I'm sure many of us have been praying for the last few weeks as we've been seeking to appoint elders, but we need to continue praying now that they've been appointed and they begin this work. We need to pray for them and ask God to help them in this work. And so we should be praying for them, we should be submitting to them, and we should be appreciating them as we support and encourage them in this work. So I hope that this lesson has helped us to get an overview of what God teaches our responsibilities are, both for those who have been appointed as elders and for the rest of us as we are to follow their lead and appreciate them for their work. It is something that sure will be challenging, but it's something that is a good work. It's designed by God, and it's something that is needed, and we're very thankful to have this work being done here in this local church. There might be some here this morning who are not yet Christians. If you're in that situation, we'd encourage you to think about your soul's condition. If you're not sure what you need to do to be right with God, we'd be happy to study with you. If you do know and you're ready to commit your life to Christ, we'd love to help you. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and you're willing to confess that, you're willing to turn from your sin and be buried with Christ in baptism for the remission of sins, then arise to walk in newness of life. We'd love to help you with that this morning. If you're someone who is a Christian who is struggling with something in your life, if you'd like to ask for the prayers of the congregation, we can help you with that as well. In either case, we'd encourage you to come forward as together we stand and sing.